Hello, friends, and welcome to day number 58 of Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve. And we are reaching yet another milestone, so I hope that you will take some time to celebrate. You will be finishing the sixth book of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible today, the book of Joshua we will be completing, and going into the following book, the book of Judges, one of my favorite books. So we will be reading Joshua 24, Judges 1 through 2, Psalm 58, and Proverb 27. If you're in need of the Bible in a Year reading plan, please click that link that's in the show notes, and you'll be brought to a webpage where you can download the PDF, print it, or whatever you want to do. And there's also a place on there for you to join our Facebook page dedicated to this podcast. I'd love to have you come share your questions, your insights, and be a part of the community there as well. So for today, by way of this podcast, I will read for us Judges 1 and 2. You should go ahead and read that final chapter in Joshua, as well as the Psalm and the Proverb. As always, I'll be reading from the World English Bible, the web translation. You can use whatever translation you've got at home or on your phone, whatever's comfortable for you, really. And finally, if you are enjoying this Bible in a Year reading plan, I ask you to click like and subscribe on your listening platform of choice, as that does help us get seen in search results when people are looking for Bible reading plans. And I would greatly appreciate your help in that so that we can continue to invite others along on this journey. Well, friends, without further ado, let us jump right into God's Word together. Judges chapter 1. After the death of Joshua, the children of Israel asked Yahweh, saying, "Who should go up for us first against the Canaanites, to fight against them?" Yahweh said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." Judah said to Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and likewise will go with you into your lot." So Simeon went with him. Judah went up, and Yahweh delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. They struck 10,000 men in Bezek. They found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him. They struck the Canaanites and the Perizzites, but Adonai Bezek fled. They pursued him, caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their big toes cut off, scavenged under my table. As I have done, so God has done to me." They brought him to Jerusalem, and he died there. The children of Judah fought against Jerusalem, took it, struck it with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. After that, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites, who lived in the hill country, and in the south, and in the lowland. Judah went against the Canaanites, who lived in Hebron. The name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba. They struck Shesai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there he went against the inhabitants of Debir. The name of Debir before was Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, "I will give Achash, my daughter, as wife to the man who strikes Kiriath Sefer and takes it." Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So he gave him Achash, his daughter, as his wife. When she came, she got him to ask her father for a field. She got off her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What would you like?" She said to him, "Give me a blessing, because you have set me in the land of the south. Give me also springs of water." Then Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. The children of the Kenite, Moses' brother-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which is in the south of Arad. And they went and lived with the people. Judah went with Simeon, his brother, and they struck the Canaanites who inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. The name of the city was called Hormah. Also Judah took Gaza with its border, and Ashkelon with its border, and Ekron with its border. Yahweh was with Judah, and drove out the inhabitants of the hill country, for he could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. They gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said, and he drove out the three sons of Anak out of there. The children of Benjamin didn't drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. The house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and Yahweh was with them. The house of Joseph sent to spy out Bethel. The name of the city before that was Luz. The watchers saw a man come out of the city, and they said to him, "Please show us the entrance into the city, and we will deal kindly with you." He showed them the entrance into the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go. The man went into the land of the Hittites, built a city, and called its name Luz, which is its name to this day. Manasseh didn't drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its towns, or Tanakh and its towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and its towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and its towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and its towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. When Israel had grown strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor and didn't utterly drive them out. Ephraim didn't drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer, but the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. Zebulun didn't drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahuel, but the Canaanites lived among them and became subject to forced labor. Asher didn't drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Sidon, nor of Ahlab, nor of Achzib, nor of Helba, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they didn't drive them out. Naphtali didn't drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor inhabitants of Beth Anath. But he lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and of Beth Anath became subject to forced labor. The Amorites forced the children of Dan into the hill country, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and in Shalbim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became subject to forced labor. The border of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim, from the rock, and upward. Judges chapter 2. Yahweh's angel came up from Gilgal to Bochim. He said, "I brought you out of Egypt, and have brought you to the land which I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. You shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars. But you have not listened to my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you." When Yahweh's angel spoke these words to all the children of Israel, the people lifted up their voice and wept. They called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to Yahweh. Now when Joshua had sent the people away, the children of Israel each went to his inheritance to possess the land. The people served Yahweh all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of Yahweh, that he had worked for Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of the inheritance of Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, on the north of the mountain of Gash. After all that generation were gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who didn't know Yahweh, nor the work which he had done for Israel. The children of Israel did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, and served the Baals. They abandoned Yahweh, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, and the gods of the people who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them, and they provoked Yahweh to anger. They abandoned Yahweh and served Baal and the Ashtaroth. Yahweh's anger burned against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of the enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went, Yahweh's hand was against them for evil, as Yahweh had spoken, and as Yahweh had sworn to them, and they were very distressed. Yahweh raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they didn't listen to their judges, for they prostituted themselves to other gods and bowed themselves down to them. They quickly turned away from the way in which their fathers walked, obeying Yahweh's commandments. They didn't do so. When Yahweh raised up judges for them, then Yahweh was with the judge and saved them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it grieved Yahweh because of their groaning by reason of those who oppressed them and troubled them. But when the judge was dead, they turned back and dealt more corruptly than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. They didn't cease what they were doing or give up their stubborn ways. Yahweh's anger burned against Israel, and he said, "Because this nation transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not listened to my voice, I will also no longer drive out any of the nations that Joshua left when he died from before them, that by them I may test Israel to see if they will keep Yahweh's way to walk therein, as their fathers kept it or not." So Yahweh left those nations without driving them out hastily. He didn't deliver them into Joshua's hand. Gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for this time together where we can find you in your word. Lord, send forth your Holy Spirit to illuminate these ancient words and to reveal its truth to us, how we might apply it to our hearts and our lives to glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. Well, friends, as mentioned previously, the book of Judges is one of my favorite books of all the Bible. I really love this book because it captures well the essence of the human problem, that we have this tendency towards sin, and that sometimes we sin, we'll repent, we get back right with God, and then we become complacent, and we get back to the problem of sin. It's a destructive process, yet we find ourselves back in it time and again. And really, what the book of Judges shows us is that the children of Israel, the people of Israel, did not fully obey God's command to dispossess the nations from the land, the promised land. And because of that, because of their disobedience, there's trouble. And God essentially says, you know what, you made your bed, you're going to lie, and I'm going to allow you to reap the consequences of your disobedience. So God says, you know what, I'm not going to get rid of these nations for you. I'm going to allow a remnant of them to be there as a thorn in your side, basically to test you, to see if you and your children after you will obey me and try at least to get rid of all of these inhabitants. And so that's exactly what God does. So throughout the entirety of the book of Judges, we'll see this cycle carry on. There will be times when the Israelites are living their own ways and there's complacency. They don't care about God's commandments and they follow the gods of the people that weren't dispossessed. And they become oppressed. They wind up groaning. God hears that groan and raises up a judge to save them. And then the Israelites are all happy, and then the cycle repeats because they become complacent and so on. When people read the title of the book of Judges, they often think of a judge in the context of a courtroom, right? The person who is interpreting the law and executing judgment. It's a juridical sort of situation. But the judges here are different. These are like little mini saviors, little warrior rulers that God raises up, places God's spirit on them so that they have the power to rescue the Israelites from the oppressive forces. Now, what type of book is Judges? This is not simply a narrative. It's not a historical or fictional report. Rather, it is considered narrative prophecy. Narrative prophecy is different than literary prophecy, where the meaning typically lies just beneath the surface or on the surface. This type of prophecy, narrative prophecy, doesn't have its meaning on the surface. It's actually down deep in the belly, so to speak. And the message of narrative prophecy exists in the experience of the readers, you and me, when we encounter a complex set of characters. Now, these characters are not examples of good ways and bad ways to live. Some people try to make it like that. These characters are considered iconographic, which means they are icons that light can be shined through so that we see how God is shining through them to reveal something to us. And so these iconographic characters reveal God to the readers. The purpose of the book is to aim directly at the reader or the hearer's heart in an attempt to break your heart from its idolatrous affliction, from its idolatrous cycle that you might be caught up in. And ultimately, what the book of Judges tries to do is to show you that these judges and even kings that come after judges are not enough to alleviate this tendency towards sin, to rescue us from the clutches of sin. The only person is the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate judge too. But he is the only one who could save us, who could save our hearts and cut the ties and the shackles to sin and death for us. That is the trajectory for the book of Judges. Now, throughout it, we're going to see many different stories. They contain some pretty interesting, and when I mean interesting, I mean some horrible things like rape and suicide, child sacrifice. There's a lot of sex and drinking going on, but there is some faith. There's more idolatry, and there's more power and greed and transactional economies versus gift economies. And ultimately, what it ends with is an all-out civil war between the tribes of Israel. So there's this downward spiral, worsening events happening throughout the book of Judges, which serves to prop up even more the need for a true Savior. So friends, truly, this book is a more enjoyable and engaging read compared to some of the others that we have read, yet they are all so important in revealing God's redemptive plan. And Judges is an amazing book that does that so very well. I hope that you enjoy this time in the book of Judges with me and with each other. If you have any questions, because there are some very complex situations happening that we probably won't be able to dig too much into, but you could reach out on that Facebook page and we can discuss some of this stuff further. And friends, I look forward to being back with you tomorrow as we continue along in this book, the Book of Judges, together. Have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. But until then, God bless.